Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, you said it ain't gonna change it. Make up your mind.
Well, Key, let's start there, because I actually think Schefter makes a lot of sense there. Good morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Pat's talk and what they might do. We will not stand pat with New England. We're going to talk about them here in just a minute. But I think what he's raising there, Key, is if you can get probably some sort of a haul for Carson Wentz, because you've always said, somebody thinks I can fix this guy. Yeah. So you're going to get that from somebody.
I love the voice and the facial expression.
Right, from Chicago, Indy, whatever it is, whatever ties together with Wentz, Reich, all that stuff that's been talked about. We'll see what happens. What he's saying there is if you can get a decent haul for a possibly broken quarterback, what are you going to be able to get for a 25-year-old stud in his prime? I think that's what Schefter's saying.
You can get whatever they ask for the most part.
But much more than
for Wentz. Whatever you're willing to pay. I'm willing to pay what it's worth, depending on how I feel about the quarterback that I have, and is he that big of a significant of an upgrade? Like, that's what you got to – you know, I was having this conversation. I was on
WEI?
No, I was on our show with Michael K. I was on Michael K. I wasn't thinking about the number. I was thinking about the name of the show. Mike, because I was on so many of our shows.
Yes,
I was on night. Michael K. last night, and they asked me a question about what Bart said, because Bart filled in yesterday, and he said, I guess Deshaun Watson was better than Patrick Mahomes or something like that.
We tried to have Jack Dorsey disable his Twitter feed the second
that
happened.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But is he wrong? Right? Here's why I say this. What is Patrick Mahomes? He's an MVP. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's a Pro Bowl. He's all of those things. Two-time, should be three-time appearing in the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the hand or the foot, whichever one.
D Ford, sorry.
And so when you look at that, you go, okay, what's Deshaun? If Deshaun's on that team with that those weapons and that coaching staff and da-da-da-da, is it that big of a drop-off? Or is it close? In my eyes, it's very close. It's so close. You know, I look at all those guys as interchangeable at the quarterback position when you get in the top echelon in the tier of QBs. They're all interchangeable depending on the situation. So it's all about what you want to give for Deshaun Watson. Is Derek Carr that less of a quarterback than Deshaun Watson if you're the Raiders? If you believe he is better, then you want to give up all of the stuff to get him. But then there's the what if. What if you are in the same position that you were with Carr? So you got to look at all of that. Is he worth four more games for you? Do you believe that as an organization? Is he worth five more games for you? Do you believe that in him as an organization? And if so, you give up whatever it takes. But if you think, if we'd have did this, if we'd have did that, maybe Carr could have done this. Then you sit tight and see what happens.
I don't know, Key. I know you can sit there and you can make the argument that Deshaun Watson isn't. It's a slight drop off from Patrick Mahomes, and I know he didn't have the weapons. And this is not to knock Deshaun Watson. I just think Patrick Mahomes is in a different category.
I think he's a magician with the ball.
I know a lot of people love to throw him other QBs in that conversation, but I kind of really see him one-on-one. I don't see a lot of people doing the things with the ball that Patrick Mahomes is doing.
Deshaun shows some skills, though. This year, he's shown some Houdini-like stuff in the past. It's hard to say. My only point is they're all kind of interchangeable. Despite the age, is Patrick Mahomes, don't even look at the age. Just look at his play. Is he superior to Aaron Rodgers? Or is that pretty much the same stuff? Like, is that the same stuff? Right? I mean, think about it. Is that the same stuff? Or is Patrick Mahomes so far out in the universe that nobody could ever catch him?
I would take Patrick Mahomes before I would take Aaron Rodgers.
See, but a lot of people, I can't say that, though, Jay. I swear to God, I cannot say that, man. I done caught footballs from 1,000 different quarterbacks. I cannot say that. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be around for the next 15 years and killing it. But I can't say I'm taking him before Aaron Rodgers with both of them on the board. How can I say that?
So you're taking Aaron Rodgers first?
I'm not saying that. I
guess what I'm asking you is, which one would you have?
I'm happy with either, is what I'm saying.
No, you can't say happy.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Because you're making a case for Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm not. I'm saying all of those quarterbacks are interchangeable when you get in a certain position with them, whether it's Deshaun, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott. They all are interchangeable depending on the situation that you put them in. You can't take in – you didn't say Cam Newton versus Deshaun Watson. Cam Newton hasn't shown me what Deshaun showed me over the last several years. But if you would have taken Cam Newton from his MVP season and what Deshaun did this year, now that's interchangeable. That's the same stuff. That's all I'm saying. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes is the same stuff, man. Don't get caught up in him winning a Super Bowl recently or being an MVP recently or make a throw here or there. That stuff with them weapons in that coaching staff, in his skill set, if you drop Aaron Rodgers in there, man, it's the same thing.
So speaking of same stuff, it's an interesting phrase that you use. It's 1 year apart. Brady has the edge on Belichick right now after their first year apart, right? Super Bowl, Belichick missing the playoffs. Speaking of the same stuff, people are wondering. I know you're upset, Key, but people in Boston are wondering, does Belichick have the same stuff? It's a question. Jay Broach yesterday on the show with Christian Fourier, former player for the Patriots, two-time Super Bowl champion under Bill Belichick. They had this little exchange yesterday.
When do we start talking about Bill Belichick potentially on the hot seat?
Oh, no.
I know. I got to ask it. I got to ask. I just got to ask it. I'm not saying it's. I'm just saying. You know how media gets.
It's so early.
It's too early. Key, you weren't here yesterday. We actually had a pretty robust discussion about this. You can check it out in hour four of yesterday's podcast.
Belichick, going to come work for us? Because it sounds like they trying to get rid of you already. I mean, it's not the same, man. It's not. He didn't have the players. He didn't have the – Tom saw that. Tom's not stupid. Tom realized, if I stick around here, I'm going to be a 9-7 football team. I don't want to do that. I got a chance to go somewhere and win again. Plus, I don't like the way that they built this thing toward the end of my career. So he made a decision, a very calculated decision, to seek out a better football team to go and win a Super Bowl. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't understand why people all of a sudden are now ready to move on from Bill Belichick. Because Tom found Goodwin, found Fournette, a defense that's intact with Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, and found great weather in a town and a city that makes all the sense of the world. He just found the right spot.
I was actually pushing Christian to see if he was actually going to kind of form into that narrative that happens in media, that the more a star player that leaves an organization and goes to another one that wasn't that great the year before and wins at a high clip and then wins the Super Bowl and will be favored, one of the favorites again to win it next year, depending upon what Houdini trick Bill Belichick can pull out of his hat. I guess my mind went to, like, how much longer does Bill Belichick have? Like, and I know he's turning 69 years old this upcoming year. And the question is, if they can't find a guy like Marcus Mariota, even though they have a lot of cap space, if they can't find a place to make this Patriot organization a destination for young stars to come, if he has to rebuild through the draft, is that something that he wants to do at this stage of his career? Or do you want to pass the baton to a guy like Josh McDaniels and maybe move more to the front office and oversee the organization from that aspect instead of being in the trenches?
He's not done coaching. He hasn't lost his fastball. He's not falling asleep with the clicker in his hand in meetings.
But his fastball was Tom Brady.
That was his fastball. Man, stop, man. Stop.
What are you talking about?
That wasn't his fastball.
Phil Jackson's fastball was Michael Jordan. Phil Jackson's fastball was Kobe Bryant.
Don't do that, Jay. Don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't do this, man. Don't act like he didn't put them teams together with Willie McGinnis's and Laurie Malloy's and Ty Law's and Teddy Bruschi's and Antoine Smith's at the running back and Corey Dillon's and Julian Edelman's. Don't do that. And Rob Gronkowski's and the late Aaron Hernandez.
I'm not diminishing what Bill Belichick has done. Don't put words in my mouth in that
degree. You just said.
No, I'm asking
how much. You realize what you just said?
Yes, I do realize what I just said.
Do you realize you said his fastball?
How many Super Bowls has Bill Belichick won?
Man, the dude.
I'm asking you, Keith. Can you answer a question for me?
Six Super Bowls.
Okay, who was on all those Super Bowl teams?
They was tied together. The roster was better.
They were tied together, and now they're not tied together.
Jay, not one skill position player that the New England Patriots had this year can play and start for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the skill position. Not one.
Okay.
It was different. The team was different. That's why Tom said, I got to get the hell out of here.
Who's the Patriots GM?
Excuse me?
Who's the GM? Who put those decisions together?
Oh, stop. Man, a dude made damn decisions how many times? 13 times to get into championship games? Y'all need to stop, man.
I don't know why we fit into this whole thing like, hey, Bill Belichick is going to be made out to be a villain. Like, the guy's won 6 Super Bowls. He will be the most legendary coach in the history of the game.
I'm just tired of the flip-flopping, man. I can't do it.
What flip-flopping are you talking about?
I can't do it, Jay.
Well, I'm sorry that you can't do it. You have to do it because we're in the show that talks about sports.
Tom Brady was tied to this. Then now you come back and you say, well, why is he getting put as a villain? Like, you got to make up your mind. Which one is it?
Well, I'm not saying his. Wait, I never said that he was a villain, Key. I think you're spinning yourself around in circles here. I think what I was saying to you is the fact that I don't understand. Like, Bill Belichick, if they have to rebuild through the draft, if you can't lure a big-time free agent, like a big-time quarterback there to do that, and it does take superstars to win championships. That's why I gave you the Phil Jackson scenario. If you're rebuilding through the draft, how much longer does a guy like Bill Belichick want to go through that rebuilding process? Or does it make sense?
He enjoys doing what
Are you going to cut me off? You're going to let me finish?
No, I'm not going to let
you finish.
Does
it make sense?
You're just saying the same things over and over, and it's annoying.
Well, I'm sorry it's annoying to you, Keyshawn. But I'm allowed to make my point, homie.
As we all are, last sentence here before we have to go to break. And that is this.
Jason Williams.
And that's
you can't be right all the time, Key.
I'm not trying to be right. I want you to understand rather than keep saying the same thing. Go ahead, Zubin. Never mind.
I'll just split the difference. I'll be the mediator here. The bottom line is this. The fans do not want another bridge year. They don't want another bridge year.
Thank you, Zubin. Right now,
it seems hard to believe, no matter who plays quarterback, that it's not going to be another bridge year relative to their standards. That's what the fans don't want. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. On the way, the biggest star from the Bucs Super Bowl championship team, their first one. I thought I was sitting right next to him. But no, somebody else on the other side of the football. That's after I tell you about The Undefeated, which, of course, you can access on ESPN+. The Undefeated on ESPN+ offers fans year-round premium content highlighting the intersection of race, culture, and sports. That's where everything is headed these days. Check out new premium storytelling, your favorite ESPN films, and more exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Got to get the break. Already too late.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Jason Terry, a 2011 NBA champion.
What up, Jet?
What up, Key? I want to commend you two brothers. You guys have kept it way, way real, and it's about time.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
When you do what you did on
Sunday.
It feel
good when you win.
You can say anything you want.
You can say anything you want when you win.
Mm-hmm.
You quiet everybody down. Shut them down when you win.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. The Bucks figuratively got their ring on Sunday. The bling will come out in 2021 at the opener, and you would imagine it would be on a Thursday night in Tampa. Hopefully some more fans there. If the NFL's history tells us anything, they got their ring brought to you by Macy's. We're waiting for a legendary Bucks Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Key's teammate. We'll get to that in
Man, wake up!
Warren Sapp here in just a second. The comparison between both championship teams would be fascinating. But speaking of rings, Jay asked it, Key answered it. Bill's got 6. I can't leave this on the cutting room floor because you guys were so hot about this before with regards
to Key called me annoying.
You're not.
You are
not
annoying.
No, no.
If I can flick,
I'm the annoying little brother you never had.
If I could flick you in the back of your ear and then pop you in the back of your head right now, I would.
You might get popped right back now, kid.
No, my little brother's. I'm the youngest in the family, but if I had a little brother, he'd dare.
Okay, so just hit it for us. How many years? At what point is it legitimate for a Pats fan? It could be 2023, 2024. At what point is it legitimate to say, you know what?
A couple years. A couple years. You got. You gotta.
Couple years from now, or this is the first year?
A couple years from now.
Okay.
This is 2021 will be the first year that you start to say, okay, let's take a look. 2022. Now you're treating what you treat this as, if you could somehow block it out of your mind, you treat last year, 2020 season, as a first-time head coach for Bill Belichick. He's a first-time head coach. Everything else is in the time, career over, everything. Get rid of that. Put that in the trash can. Moving forward from 2020, moving forward is how you judge the situation. Then when it's over in the end, then you can go back and get the trash out of the trash can and put it up on the mantle. But
the
this
rings
is a
get
fresh.
You how much patience, though? I think that's what people want to know.
It gets you, for his age and where he's at, it gets you a 3-4 year window. You can't keep being 9-7 again, 8-8. You can't do that because at that point, we all can agree that that's probably a little too late.
Jay, your timeline's shorter than that, I presume.
Well, I think I kind of equate Bill Belichick a little bit to what Greg Popovich had to go through with the Spurs. After they had their big-time run, yes, Bill Belichick coaches as long as you want, right? But, you know, we watched the Spurs not make the playoffs last year. Granted, last year was a different year, first time in 25 years. And it's have you been able to attract the big-time superstar free agent to help you get over that hump? They got DeMar DeRozan. Okay, but LaMarcus Aldridge is still not there. It's not what it used to be. It doesn't mean that you can't win games, but it takes a superstar to win these types of games. And all I'm saying is that when you think about Tom Brady was such a different cat, and yes, it does take two to tangle, but Tom also has tangled with somebody else. I wonder, you know, who would be that superstar that would like to say, I'm willing to buy into the Belichick way? That would do that.
Look, man, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for 20 years did magic. But there was also other guys on the other side of the ball, as well as on the offensive side, that he drafted, traded for, found, retooled, whatever the case may be, that helped him along the way. This wasn't Tom is the only guy and everybody else is just guys. I mean, Richard Seymour, they drafted out of Georgia. I mean, the guy is a Hall of Fame talent that probably will be inducted one day. I mean, it's just – so when you think about it, Adam Vinatieri's legs helped win a few of those Super Bowls.
No doubt.
So when you got to look at everything. You can't just look at terrific Tom and say, they lost this year, Tom won. He went to Tampa, he won. So therefore, Belichick stinks and Tom Brady's the guy.
I never concluded. I would never say that Bill Belichick stinks.
No, not is, you. Yeah, people.
I know. Like, he's the greatest coach there is in the NFL. Like, he is. But I also am okay with the narrative being that Bill Belichick has won 6 reigns. I'm not sure if he's going to win another one.
Well, he may not win another one.
I'm not sure if he's going to win another one.
Look, if he can't get the same talent that. Okay, so let me, before we, is Sapp there?
He's not there.
Oh, so if I took Bill Belichick and I dropped him in Tampa right now, do you think they win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Look at Tampa's roster and look at New England's. It's simple math.
Can I just play devil's advocate for one second, Key?
Yes.
Gronk decided to play for Tampa because he wanted to have fun. Just hear me on this one.
I understand.
Is there a sense amongst the league that, yes, systematically he is brilliant, but do people enjoy playing for Bill Belichick?
You never enjoy playing for guys that win the way that they do. I enjoy
playing for Coach K.
Well, I mean, look, you reap the benefits on the back end. The grind is something that you must embrace. If you're going to play for Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, I said it to Zubin. I don't know if I've ever said it to you or if you ever heard me say this. Playing for Coach Parcells is like is dog years. That is what it feels like. Every single practice was a game. But guess what? I reaped the benefits. So I enjoyed it, even though it was stressful. I enjoyed it, even though I put myself through that pain to play for that type of individual, because I enjoyed it. It got the most out of me. Now, do you say to yourself, "Whoa, man, this is I never get any sugar." I wasn't looking for any sugar in the end. I get all the sugar I get right now. He can come on. He'll come on any given day and tell you how he enjoyed coaching me and this, that. He wouldn't tell you that when I was playing for him, and I'm not expecting for him to do that, because I have a job to do, which was run through a wall to help try to bring a championship to Dallas as well as the New York Jets. That was my only job. And when I'm done playing for him, he could talk glowingly about me all he wants to. Those type of individuals are hard to play for.
Agreed.
It just they are. That's why that's what makes them great.
Yeah.
Just saying, if you go through another marginal year like you did this year, next year there will be a certain faction of people that will be looking at Josh McDaniels saying, "Okay, how much longer does he need to wait?"
Yeah.
And is this franchise going to get younger? Are they going to recalibrate?
Are they going
to have a new outlook?
They are going to recalibrate. There's no question about it. And as far as attracting players to the New England Patriots, I'll say it again and again and again. They've never really attracted top talented guys that left teams at the height. They just never – it was always finding the gem that may have had some issues with the other organization. So, therefore, they signed on – via your trade, whether it's Randy Moss or it's Corey Dillons or whatever, Junior Seau at the end, whatever that may be, they've been able to get those guys to come and play for them. It's not like the top free agents they've gone after of and spent the big money on, except Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore is the only guy that I can think of that they spent big money on in the free agent market. That's just not what his style was, because they felt like we can coach a guy up to do what we need him to do.
The fellas.
All I'm saying is that one common denominator was a transcendent player in Tom Brady. Who will be that transcendent player that will become the common denominator moving forward
for
our franchise? That's a big question.
Fair enough. I'm going to weigh in on that in just a second, because I have a thought on that. But Mike in Georgia has a thought. We've heard plenty from Key and Jay. Mike in Georgia, what do you think about Belichick?
I mean, Belichick's mind is great. His football mind is outstanding. He did have a Super Bowl win before he got to New England with the Giants as a D.C., there's nothing wrong with Belichick. Belichick, this year's team was decimated with people to opt out from COVID, and he had no defense. The offense was stale, but that had nothing to do with Bill Belichick. That's like saying Kansas City offense was stale in the Super Bowl, and that had everything to do with the coach. Sometimes the players just don't pan out like they want to. But Belichick ain't going nowhere, and his mind is great, and he can come on back to the New York Giants, where I'm a fan of, any day.
Yeah, he was the defensive coordinator for two Super Bowl championship teams.
He assembled the talent that won all of those Super Bowls, along with other people that have left the organization to go take general manager jobs or whatever it may be. He has to figure out that talent again. He can't draft N'Keal Harrys of the world. He's got to go and find gems. He's got to go get guys that can make it okay to be 10-6 and win the AFC East. He's got to find those guys, 11-5 and win the AFC East. Because if you look at the talent, like I said, those dudes, those receivers and stuff, man, them dudes can't play in Tampa.
So, Key, what's the window? How long is the window that you would give Bill Belichick
if you're the owner?
It's a
3-4 year type window before you start saying, because he'll start to say, I'm getting tired of trying to chase this.
Last thing I would say, and this is just my opinion.
Then watch him go out there and win a Super Bowl next year.
You can't doubt him. Here's the thing I would say. Key, you're invested in a ton of businesses. Jay, you're invested in a ton of businesses. This is what I hear from people in the business world that are super successful. And this is what I'm talking about with Bob Kraft, right? Paper mill guy, Pat's owner, right? He said it. You have to have good fortune to make a fortune. You got to get lucky. You have to be fortunate. The bottom line is Bob Kraft can say, I once employed the greatest coach in NFL history and the greatest player in NFL history. And believe it or not, for 20 years, I had him at the same time. Change happens. It's inevitable. That's the bottom line. No matter who you lose, something was going to happen at some point. And to Key's point, enjoy what you had for as long as you have it. And now the guy that has all the control and always has had the control is now firmly in control with Tom out. It'll be fascinating. We'll see what happens. More NFL talk with our insider. The latest on Dak, Darnold, Watson, Wentz, and the strange comments from Russell Wilson right after SportsCenter.
Into Plumlee, slips it out. Jeremy, a long three, and he hits it.
It's his night, baby. It's his night.
Wow. 104-94. Jeremy Grant with 32 points.
That was on 97.1, the ticket. Pistons over the Nets, who have now lost three in a row. Nets are really struggling. They've not played well against sub-500 teams. They're 7-11 against teams with a losing record. The Pistons are 6-18. And Kyrie was not particularly happy after the game, saying we're not sacrificing enough. We're playing to be average. We should be playing to be dominant. Paraphrasing there. Source saying today's a big day for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's when Patrick Mahomes is going to have surgery on that toe, which obviously compromised him quite a bit, I think. In Super Bowl 55, that offensive line certainly didn't seem to help. But according to everybody, surgery should be. It's easy to say this when you're not going under the knife. But it should be easy, ready to go by training camp.
How's that toe, Zubin?
It's feeling good. It's feeling good. But we'll see. And black history always. Naomi Osaka won the 2020 U.S. Open. The next major, the tennis season's already underway on ESPN. It's the 2021 Australian Open. And when she won the championship, you may recall, she brought awareness to victims of police brutality, as many athletes, male and female, and collective and singular sports were doing after their matches. And Osaka did that, and that'll probably be always a part of her legacy in winning that championship. She's the future of tennis, there's no doubt. SportsCenter brought to you by Mako. Is 2020 full of dings, dents, and scratches? Your tax refund and Mako can help refresh your ride with your refund at Mako to undo a little bit of last year. Head to Mako.com to get a free online estimate today. Uh-oh, better get Mako. It's a great question posed by Adam Schefter. We'll see what the answer to that question is. I think the easy answer is...
What are you willing to pay?
A whole lot, right? That's the old thing, right? What is someone worth? What you're willing to pay.
Yeah, what you're willing to pay.
That's the old cliche. This morning, coming up in just a couple of hours, Todd McShay will join us. His mock draft 2.0 has dropped, so he's got all the latest on the collegiate quarterbacks and where they might go. But for more on what's going on with the guys already in the league, let's bring in ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. He's on the Goodyear hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, you know, Dan, I heard some very un-Russell Wilson-like comments from Russell Wilson, who, speaking of the toe for Patrick Mahomes, nobody toes the line like Russell Wilson, right? You can always expect him to say the right thing, go Hawks. But I got to tell you, yesterday's comments on the Dan Patrick Show, putting off some of the trade talk on the organization, I just didn't see it coming. It seems like a long shot. It's totally remote, as Key has said. But because he didn't exactly shut it down, what can you tell us here?
Or not tell us.
I think he's speechless. I mean, it's such a remote possibility. He doesn't even know what to say anymore.
Or not tell us. Got to get Dan's audio working.
A little bit. You say it's a remote possibility, but I just thought Russell essentially saying, when asked by Dan Patrick, what about calls that have been fielded to the Seahawks organization? He just said, instead of saying, I love the 12s and all this stuff and whatever he says, I'm in the community, go Hawks, the usual stuff. He came out with, that's a Seahawks question. I'm not saying that's the most incendiary comment in the world, but for a guy that basically is always just saying the right thing, it was a notable exception.
I mean, you take a look at Russell Wilson's, I don't want to call it transformation because it's not like all of a sudden he went from looking this way.
Go ahead and go there.
He evolved.
Go ahead and go there, Keith.
No, but I was going to say, you know how sometimes you see a transformation for someone, they look like you, and then 7 years later, they look like me. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's not the same guy. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you look at when he came into the league, Russell was just happy being the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, being part of the Legion of Boom on the offensive side, winning a Super Bowl. Just kind of – then all of a sudden he has this empowerment sort of thing that from a couple years ago is starting to evolve into where he is today. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just because he feels a little more comfortable – with stepping outside of the typical kind of like, I'm a quarterback. He thought that was the way he needed to be. And what I would say to that is just be who you are. Okay,
that's hard for people.
And if that's who you are from 6 years ago, be that guy, because now all of a sudden Russell Wilson is voicing his opinion loudly to the in the public and all. You never done that before. You always behind closed doors, one on one with Coach Carroll, kind of just doing those sort of things. Now he's become something different. And that's why you say, Zubin, you never hear that from him before. It's a shocker to your system. It's because he feels now everybody else, Deshaun's are doing it. Tom Brady made his move. Aaron Rodgers is doing. So everybody's kind of doing it. So where do I fit in at now that I'm Russell Wilson? How can I force my will on an organization to start to listen to my feelings as a quarterback, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just different because he kind of, in the last 5 years, I would say, kind of found his way.
You know, whenever I hear somebody say, you know, you got to know yourself, I think we're always ongoing. We're always changing. Zubin, you were a different person last year than were you this year. Same with you, Keith, same with myself, right? We're always trying to get better. We're always trying to find these little nuances. And Russell Wilson, he's 32 years old. Like, I think there is a part of him that is saying, hey, I'm watching all these dynamic changes that are happening around me. And Key, you're absolutely right. How much longer is my window? Like, I'm trying to win now too. So, yeah, I might be a little bit snide in my remarks here or there because I think Russell Wilson is also a little bit frustrated. He was having an MVP caliber year. His play started to, you know, drop off a little bit towards the end as their defense got better. But he was also running for his life from his O-line. So I think they're also, you know, for him, sacked the third most out of any quarterback this year in the league at 394 sacks for his career, which is like some kind of damn record. So, yeah, I think Russell Wilson's getting a little bit frustrated by the scenario, saying, what are we doing to fix this so I can win championships too?
And he has the right to do that. But what I would say is a lot of the fixing sometimes is not the personnel as much as it is the scheme. That's why they decided to part ways with the offensive coordinator in Schottenheimer making the decision to go another direction, because sometimes it's the scheme. It's the protection scheme. It's not the people up front as much as it is the scheme, because I'm sure the offensive lineman will tell you, oh, I can block this guy. It's not skill on skill. It's what they're asking me to do in protection. And so when you look at that, it didn't work the second half of the season because they went away from things. They wanted to try to be more of a run-oriented team, especially when Russell Wilson got into that funk over a 3-4 game span when he started to turn the ball over at record pace. They decided, okay, we're going to run the ball more. We're going to go back. Our defense is playing great. We're going to go back to what we did to get to those two Super Bowls. We're going to run the football. We're going to minimize his throws, and we're going to try to lean heavy on our defense. And it wind up not working out in their favor in the end.
Speaking of run, we're going to run down Dan Graziano and Warren Sapp, by the way. We're working on both of them, and we'll have much
I didn't expect nothing different from Warren, and when he come on, I'm going to tell him that too.
All right, so we're looking at about 32 minutes, so get your argument ready for Warren. We're looking at him at about 32 minutes, and Dan Graziano will be with us next. Much more on the QB carousel. Dak, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, where does it all go from here?
Wentz. Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer?
No.
Carson Wentz.
I said Carson Palmer on purpose. Oh, just because all these, they just looking for quarterbacks. So you might as well go find Andrew Luck too. While you at it, Brett Favre might even want to throw a ball or two.
Peyton Manning looked good on the field the other day.
Peyton Manning might want to come back. He's healed over time. He's feeling healthy again.
True to form, Brett's not sure if he's coming.
You know, Elway, who else? Marino, we might as well just start pulling them all out, right?
No doubt.
Bubby Brister, who else?
Bubby, hey, from backup to starter.
Bring in Jake Plummer. Go find him in Montana somewhere.
There he is. He's got the beard. He's still got the beard. Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer, you name them.
Geez.
Scott Zolak. You want to grab, just grab them all and make them. Everybody's looking for quarterbacks.
There's your answer. Zolak out of the booth for the Pats, right back on the field. Great idea. Bill, if you're listening, hey, you never know. On the way, we'll have quarterback discussion. Legitimate. And not so much with Dan Graziano.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
He should win the MVP.
That's how to block your shot, Jay.
What are you talking about, Key? You don't want this smoke.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I guess the short answer, Adam, is a whole lot more than that. Casey lost the Super Bowl Sunday. Key in with Casey and JoJo during the break. Valentine's Day. It's never too early to get in the mood for the fellas, for the ladies. 1-800-Flowers plugs coming, I'm sure, throughout the morning. We love, not in that way, Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. He joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. I want to start by just asking you about Russell Wilson. Some very un-Russell Wilson-like comments made yesterday when it was simply asked by Dan Patrick, you know, have the Seahawks been fielding some calls? Because there's been a lot of buzz about that. And instead of going into his usual spiel about the 12s and Go Hawks and how much he loves everything, he went into, that's a Seahawks question. That's a very un-Wilson-like response. What are we to make of that?
Yeah, I agree with you, Zubin. And I think what we are to make of it is Russell Wilson is kind of, in a very pointed Russell Wilson-ish way, trying to let the team know that, hey, we need to do a little more than we've been doing in these off seasons and maybe put some things together while I can still deliver at the level I've been delivering. I don't think he's very happy with the way the season fell off for the Seahawks and their offense. And, you know, this is Russell Wilson speaking at this volume is equivalent to you know, like Antonio Brown yelling his way out of Pittsburgh, right? We're not there yet. But I think the fact that Russell's saying anything at all that isn't complete party line, team-centric stuff is noteworthy.
Dan, but, okay, so we've seen some weird, unprecedented things this year, obviously. And what if the Seahawks decide to say, you know what, because a couple years ago the idea was flirted out. What if they decide to say, you know what, man, go on about your business? What type of suitors will be out there?
Well, you'd have a lot. But, I mean, let's get to the realistic part of this. There's no way the Seahawks can entertain this offseason. It's a $39 million dead cap hit if they were to hypothetically move Russell Wilson. These numbers get out of control. Like, Goff's dead cap hit in L.A. is $22 million. Wentz's dead cap hit in Philly is going to be $33 million. These are all-time records. To go right to 39, crippling in terms of this year's salary cap, plus who they got on the roster that's going to take over. So I would say incredibly unlikely this year. Also, the acquiring team would be getting a bargain of Russell Wilson at $69 million over 3 years. So the price would be ludicrous. So I think this is the kind of thing where you have to view this as if Russell's still unhappy in the same ways a year from now, to the extent, whatever extent he's unhappy now, then maybe that starts to be a time where you can project him, you know, possibly not being there anymore. But I think what we're seeing is the very beginning of something that's never been an issue before in Seattle, at least not that we've been aware of.
We talked about veteran quarterback in a Wilson and Russell. Let's talk about a young guy who's coming in this year's 2021 draft, BYU's quarterback Zach Wilson. Why is so much buzz about him climbing up the charts so fast?
His bowl game helped. I mean, he performed at a high level in that game. And look, I mean, he's a guy that he has the right kind of NFL traits. He has the mobility. He has the arm. He has the accuracy. I mean, there are concerns, obviously, level of competition and some things that they want to iron out in his game. But, you know, this is a young man who's thought of very highly by some of the teams that are picking up high in the draft and some of the teams that might be considering trading up toward the top of the draft if they want to do that to go get a quarterback. So, you know, we're 2.5 months away. These things are fluid. We know who's going number one, but we don't know exactly who the second quarterback's going to be or when he's going to be picked. But right now, if the draft were held today, my prediction would be that Zach Wilson would be the second quarterback and maybe the second player taken.
So, Dan, I was looking at Todd McShay's latest mock draft, and he has 4 QBs taken in top 5. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he has 4 in the top 4, which would be a first. So I think that's – I mean, look, I'm not to denigrate what Todd's doing. Obviously, I mean, he's as good as anybody at this. But historically, it's never happened, and we haven't even seen – quarterbacks go 1-2-3 since 1999. So circumstances likely push it the other way. But what it's telling you is there is a thirst for quarterback among the teams that are up there. There are some teams that are going to be willing to make moves to try and get into this mix, right? Carolina at 8 might have to move up if they want to get somebody. Chicago might be trying to move up in the first round to get somebody. These are teams that need the help at the position, short-term and long-term. And I think there's going to be a little bit of a scramble. That does push quarterbacks up the board, and you know, I think it'd be amazing if we saw quarterbacks go with the first 4 picks. Not certainly impossible, but it would be unprecedented.
You're absolutely right. There is a major thirst for quarterbacks on every team. Speaking of that, what is the best landing spot, or where do you see the landing spot being for Carson Wentz?
I think the best landing spot for him would probably be Indianapolis, where he has a strong relationship with Frank Reich from their time together with the Eagles. But Indianapolis is very calculated in its offseason process, and they sort of set a price for a player that they're interested in and stick to it. So if the Eagles are asking too much for Carson Wentz, I could see the Colts bowing out and the Chicago Bears possibly being the more desperate of the two teams. I mean, this is a situation in Chicago where Matt Nagy, the head coach, Ryan Pace, the general manager, probably need to win this year in order to keep their jobs, and they may be willing to stretch a little bit more than the Colts might be. So that's why I would favor Chicago if it's those two teams. Those are the two teams we've heard the most strongly involved here. There are other teams that are kind of on the periphery of it that could get involved. For instance, Carolina, if they feel like they're not going to be able to get Deshaun Watson, might get more interested in Carson Wentz. So there are other teams, and the more teams, the better for Philly. But right now, if you're saying Bears and Colts are the two most interested, the Bears might have the edge there, and just in terms of what they're willing to pay.
Dan, let's stay in the NFC East. I got a two-parter here for you. One first is what I think the Cowboys and Dak Prescott should do, which is sign a 5-year deal, get them as much guaranteed money up front as you can, because when you get to year 4, if you can't play, they're going to cut you anyway because the numbers are going to be so big. That's just my thought. What should the Cowboys do with Dak Prescott, and where are we at with this?
And, Dan, if you could cliff notes this, we just got a minute. Are you with us, Dan? Looks like
I don't know if you still got me, but you cut out on me. I couldn't hear the rest of your question.
What should the Cowboys do with Dak?
In 30 seconds, if possible.
Sorry.
We lost Dan Graziano. No big deal.
Sorry, we can go to break early now. Yes.
We should mention.
We need to get an engineer over to Dan's place.
We should mention 1999 draft. Those three.
Donovan McNabb and Akeem Smith.
Yeah. Hasn't happened since 1999. By the way, Todd's.
Only one of them was worth the damn.
That's fair.
And the which one was that?
The one in the middle.
McNabb.
McNabb for sure. We should mention that Todd McShay's full draft right now, 2.0, is available for you to check out right now on ESPN+. But if you're moving around, you got the kids, you're working, join us in about an hour and a half when Todd is actually going to be on the program. We can dig into Zach Wilson. We can talk about Trevor Lawrence. We can talk about Justin Fields, Trey Lance, all of that. But if you want a sneak peek, the whole first round is up right now, ESPN+. On the way, Darnold, Daniel, who's in a better position in the NFC East? The answer coming courtesy of a guy that won a Super Bowl in the NFC East. And oh, by the way, this morning we're rolling through all the quarterbacks in the NFC East and if any of them should be replaced. The answer to all those questions when Chris Canty joins us at the top of the hour.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.